What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. I hope you all had a great week. It was a crazy week, obviously, full of turkey and mashed potatoes and whatever the hell else you were doing. Spider-Man tickets, they're on sale and they're going fast. They're sold out already all over the place. People are losing their minds over it. And now Tom Holland, apparently going to sign on for three more Spider-Man movies inside the MCU, which is pretty nuts. Business, what's going to happen in the Oscar business? What's going to happen with my outlook going off in the middle of the intro? All that stuff and more with my special guest, Naveen McElarge. You guys liked him. I don't know. You guys are the only ones who do. But that's not true. He's going to be here. We're going to be talking about a lot of fun things. We're going to be talking about Oscars, Will Smith, and then come some crazy stories. That was the main thing that you guys really liked about Naveed last time, with the stories that he told. And I'm sure he's going to tell some more. And no, he did not clog up my bathroom this time. So, all right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is the big thing. That's not the show. It's a different show. Here it is. Boom. It's a fucking disaster this morning. Welcome back, everybody, to the big thing. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good one. Look at this guy. Where is he? There he is. How you doing? Yeah?
Should we make sure you're actually even recording?
What, did I not record last time?
No, I'm kidding. Because you're messing up everything.
You're not wrong to say that. I have not necessarily done that per se, but I definitely... So... Greg Alba from The Real Rejects has like almost a million subscribers. Super nice guy. Great guy. Works really hard. Lives on like the other side of town. So we've been planning to get him on the show like forever.
Yeah.
So he finally comes on the show with Mark Riley. And we do a Dune spoiler heavy review. It's like an hour and 40 minutes. It's like an in-depth, really great conversation. Sound wasn't on. The whole thing. He leaves. I'm like, can you guys come back tomorrow? And he's like, no, can't come back tomorrow, you idiot.
He didn't come at all.
No, he couldn't. He was in the middle. He was on the side of town. I understood. And Mark Riley came in and we did it the next day. But like, it was brutal.
Do a voiceover, just lip sync over him.
I thought about just going to try every point that he hit.
Just get Ethan to do it.
Ethan, man, the career that he's having in Schmodown is unbelievable. Two-time champion. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
Thought he's going to do, and he paid for both titles this year. What's up, man? How you been?
Good.
How was Thanksgiving?
Good. I ate.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cooked? Not you.
I didn't drink though. I'm not drinking for a few weeks. It sucked.
Why'd you do that?
Health.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Have you ever had a Reiki healing session?
The fuck is that?
You don't know Reiki? Reiki, okay. I've never done it before. Reiki is like an energy thing where like they literally just put their hands over you and they can feel what's wrong or, you know.
Oh, and, sounds legit.
Well, supposedly they know some shit.
Yeah.
She literally walks up to me. She walks up and puts her hands like this and she goes, oh, you need to stop drinking. She goes, your liver is in trouble.
Or she smelled it on you. Second he walked in, Jack Daniels, let's tell this guy to quit it. Makes sense. Look, that's a good thing, though. But are you coming to Spectacular on Saturday? You going to try?
I'll try. I don't know. I have the kids, and it's just, you know.
It's tough. Bring them. They're old enough now.
We were talking about last night at dinner. They loved it. They're like, is that thing where we went? And everybody's like, they had all the food.
This is more. I mean, this one's out of the DA's going to be there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you should come.
Yeah, I'll try to come.
It's going to be packed. We're ready. 600 people. Bonnie's singing the national anthem.
I saw.
Isn't that great?
I saw your post.
Yeah, so it's going to be crazy. Really good.
That's awesome.
You're not paying attention to all this Spider-Man stuff, huh?
Nah.
Now are you done with the comic book movies?
It's not that I'm done with them. I watch them.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Don't interest you as much. Which is crazy because at Silver Pictures, you were the guy to go to with those types of movies.
Oh, I know. I know. If my kids want to go, I'll go.
But it doesn't interest you.
It's not that it doesn't. It just feels like it's the same thing all over again.
Yeah. Well, did you see Eternals?
No, not yet.
I'm curious what you would think about that one, because to me...
I'm actually curious about that one. Shang-Chi, I haven't watched it either.
Shang-Chi I liked. I liked Shang-Chi. I liked Eternals better. I mean, I think I'm in the minority with that one, but I liked... Eternals to me just felt like it didn't feel as formulaic as the rest of them. It felt like a different science fiction movie. There's certain tropes that are there, and you still have the Marvel formula in there, but it's not as present, to me anyway, as the other ones. Like, it's like a full-on like science fiction...
Yeah.
Science fiction superhero movie, more so.
And I should check that out.
I dug it. I liked it a lot. I mean, it's Chloe Zhao, so it's long.
Yeah.
It is. It
a lot of people sitting around talking about things that don't have anything related to the plot.
I mean, some people felt that way. I didn't. Right. I mean, there's a lot of flashback stuff that they talked about, like how these things are there for a while, and you might be like, I didn't really know what the hell they were. I could see you saying, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, and I was like, but there's more depth to it. I don't know. Yeah. I liked it. But Spider-Man, this one, people are losing their minds because of the multiverse thing that they're doing.
Yeah,
this is the third movie that they're doing with Tom Holland as far as his own standalone movie. Tickets, because you and I talked off camera before. You don't think this thing's going to be massive?
You said one of the biggest movies of all time.
I think it's going to be one of the biggest comic book movies. I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Maybe less because of the
pandemic. Yeah. But plus, I also feel like a lot of people just don't give as much of a shit. Here's another. We talked about this last time. A lot, because so many of the movies are like on streaming and either at the same time or like a few weeks later.
Yeah.
And I know Sony isn't doing that, but I feel like
Disney people are
just
too.
Well, I feel like people just expect it now at this point.
Yeah, and we'll get into that because that's what we talked about a lot last time you were on, and I want to talk about more about the HBO Max thing. But as far as Spider-Man goes, tickets just went on sale and they sold out like super fast. People were like, someone asked me this morning, I posted a picture, a picture of myself where my daughter was slapping me in the head and said hi, and I wrote, this is pretty much my life in a nutshell. And someone writes, did you get your Spider-Man tickets? The comments. And I'm like, no, I didn't try to get them. And if I see a screening of it, great. If not, I'll catch it when I catch it. Yeah, you know, it's like, anybody who went after it and is excited about it, great. I just not doing that right now. It's like, if I can get a screening to it, I'm going to go to see the screening. I'm probably just going to go to the movie theater, try to catch like a 9:30 in the morning.
Right.
If it's available, go check. I'm very interested in it for sure.
Yeah, we'll probably go. I mean, it's also Caden's 18th birthday that weekend.
Crazy.
I know. Isn't that bananas?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So for people that didn't know, like Naveed produced Grasping at Straws, which is that the show that we did with myself and Eliza Schlesinger and Mark Ellis and a bunch of other people. And at the time, his son,
he was two, I think. Two or three.
Well, let's see what he's in.
He's
18. Yeah, he's in it, and that was 2007.
So he's almost 18.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. So what was that? 14 years ago.
Well, 2000. Oh, then he was like four. He's three or four.
He's like my daughter's. He's my youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's up there, guys.
It's weird. See, I'm 29.
You have been for a very long time.
I know.
Yeah. You got the Silver Picture shirt on, I see.
Yeah, dude.
Great. I had
represent.
It's the only bonus that I got, I think, when I was at that company was a shirt.
At least they're James Purse shirts.
What?
They're nice shirts.
They're nice shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Spidey, I think the main reason it's going to be so... I think the rumors, obviously, of Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire coming back is going to be a thing. Yeah. That's what I love, though. People, I think you're going to prove my point here, because even the fact you're in the business, but people... in this space that follow like shows like this or on Twitter. But like who are really in it and know about every story dropping, you can see why a bubble is created around people, myself included, where you think, well, everybody knows about this thing, right? Everybody knows it. Do you have any clue about the Spider-Man leaks?
No.
No. That's my point.
What do you mean what leaks? The fact that those other two guys are in it?
No, not just that. That was kind of a spoiler. So, buddy of mine, John Campia, who does a show like this, he had posted he gets Photoshop stuff sent to him. So he says that he get sent some pictures to him that were Photoshop, and he posted, because last time he did a Photoshop picture, got like 16,000 like retweets or likes or whatever it was. So he did it again. He watermarked it this time, and he did it, and it was pretty legit. It's the spoilers that came out.
Yeah.
But it was this massive story. It was trending and all this stuff.
Wow.
But you didn't know about it.
All right.
That's my point, is what I tell. I always bring up my friend John Pinto, who's a friend of mine back home. And he doesn't know about any of this shit. People say, oh, yeah, everybody knows about that. No, they don't.
Right.
You don't know about it. And you're in the business.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like that's what people have to realize. Even though the story might seem massive to you, not everybody knows what the fuck you're talking about. Right. So... but anyway, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't garner a lot of interest through that community and through that fan base.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
I think, look, it's going to be massive. I don't think it's that many people outside of the fans that are going to be like rushing this.
A lot of fans, though.
I know.
I mean, like, look. I mean, you look. You can say that the MCU is one of the most successful television programs of all time. Just happens to be on the big screen. Yeah. You know, because like, you look at. Right. I mean, look at Endgame. I don't think Endgame is number one movie anymore. I think Avatar took it over again. But
they did a re-release.
Yeah. Are you? Do you give a shit about the other Avatar movies? I remember we were at Silver Pictures and they announced 2 and 3.
That they were doing them.
We worked. We worked together. I mean, no. Yeah. No. No, no, that's not true. The first one was coming out when I worked there. But I mean, the second and third one have been talked about for years.
Yeah, no, I know. I know Sam, but
yeah, I know.
And this was a conversation. I made a movie with them.
Worthington.
Yeah. I made a movie with them 7 years ago.
Eight years ago. What was the movie? I love that you forget your movies. You forget your movies and things that you do all the time. You forget. I love it.
What's it called?
I love it. It shows you. It's just like work. That's what it means. It's like, what's the movie you made with them?
I'm gonna make. Oh, Hunter's Prayer.
There you go. Okay.
Mostow directed.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing that you didn't remember that. It was in there. We got it. We found it.
You forget the ones that.
Yeah. See, that's but this is why people like you and I understand, because you're honest. You know, it's just like every other producer. Oh yeah, you know, there was a lot of good positivity you could take out. It just didn't work.
No, there
was
no positivity.
Is it really that bad? Fair enough. All right. So anyway, you worked with Worthington, but you, yeah, well, because they were positive.
They were talking about the sequels back then, 7 years ago. You were talking about and right after that, I went down to the stages where they shot them.
Yeah.
Because I was friends with John Cameron, Jim's brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And he unfortunately just passed away. And he took us down there with Caden and went through Jim's offices we saw the necklace from Titanic.
That's
saw
cool.
all the I have photos that are amazing.
That's cool.
And it was standing next to the Titanic replicas, like 1/25 the size, all this cool shit. And the car where they're naked in Titanic.
Yeah, yeah.
Alien stuff. That's fun. And so we were there. We walked around, saw all the stuff, and then we went to the stages, and they already had the technology of
the underwater stuff that they were doing. They're doing a lot of underwater stuff for this.
No, they have this technology that I think now is a little more commonplace, but at the time I'd never seen anything like it, where the world was in a computer.
Oh, okay.
And they had already empty stage, nothing around, and they already had actors who had done a couple of the action sequences. Yeah. Like this might have been testing, but they were running through like woods and jumping over things. And I have a video of Caden doing this. You take the handheld camera and it has a screen on it, and you move it around the stage, and you can see the whole world. And then if you look at the right spot, the actor's running across.
So it's like VR.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, it was like VR. But it was you're in a stage with nothing there, and you're watching all this shit on a monitor as you move the camera around.
That's
great. It was so cool. Anyways, that was 7 years ago.
Okay, so you would understand with all the details. So this is what I do remember when I mentioned us when we were working at Silver about Avatar coming out. I remember the conversations going on like, who's going to see this? What is this movie? Right? When that Avatar came out. And that's pretty much the story of this guy's career, James Cameron. It's like, what's this? This Terminator thing? What is this? What is this? It becomes one of the biggest science fiction movies of all time. Terminator 2, what's this technology you're using? Boom. Yeah. Aliens, you're taking over for Ridley Scott? You doing what? Boom.
Yeah.
Still regarded as one of the best sequels of all time. And then Titanic, as you mentioned. This is going to be the biggest bomb in history. I'll never forget that. When I was at college, I was like, this is going to be the amount of money they spent. At the time, it was like the most expensive movie. And they were still able to do stuff, what they can't do today, that Star Wars, the original, was able to do. And that is keep a movie in the theater for months. Remember how long Titanic was in the theater?
Yeah. Didn't it get beat by another Leo movie? It was a Man with the Iron Mask.
Eventually?
Yeah, like 20 something weeks later.
Whatever it was, right? Yeah. And then it became the biggest movie of all time.
Yep.
And then he beats himself with Avatar.
That's because some teenage girls once saw it like 50 times in the theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whatever. It's still, people were going to see it. And it was a 3-hour movie or 2:45, whatever the fuck it was. So to be able to do that, and then he does it again. And people still doubt this guy.
Yeah.
When they're like, no one's going to see Avatar 2 and 3. I will not say that.
It's going to be massive.
Yeah.
You want to hear a funny story about Avatar?
Yeah.
Sam and his buddies told me this. They were shooting test stuff in Hawaii. They were like out in the woods. And they were shooting like, you know, he had like little handheld camcorders. And they were just doing tests of like, all right, run this way. He was like, you know, just running drills.
Yeah.
And some guy walks by and was like, what's going on? And someone says, oh, that's Jim Cameron. He directed Titanic. And he looks around, he sees the little handheld cameras. He goes, wow, his career really took a nosedive, didn't it?
Yeah.
They're just sitting there doing tests.
Yeah, man. It's like, it's insane. It's insane with that guy. You cannot, like, anytime I see a comment, I don't give a shit about Avatar. I'm not seeing it. It's going to bomb. It's like, how can you say that about him? It's like, I don't think there's a big interest in it, but I'm not going to say it's going to bomb because the guy just he's like Midas.
Yeah, it's true.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But I wanted to ask you as far as a producer goes, because this thing with Tom Holland is the bigger story, which we're going to talk about today, is that, so, and again, I don't know how much of this you know from being in this space or not, but like he was part of the MCU. That there was this big deal that Sony and Marvel Studios made to get Spider-Man in, because Sony owns the character.
Yep.
So to be able to get him in and the amount of movies that he did, whatever the initial deal was, right. And then it ended, and there was this big thing going around where he's not, and he was pissed off about it, and said, it looks like they're not going to make it work again. Spider-Man's out of the MCU, and then they figured it out. Right. And then there was apparently just one more movie that they were supposed to do on this contract after this run with like one more guest appearance. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a rumor that came out today with Nerdist that said he's going to sign on for that. I can't remember who they asked as they're promoting this new movie. Someone from Sony said that they're not done with making Spider-Man movies at Marvel, and that gets rumored that Holland's now going to be on for three more movies.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day when it was, whether it was Christian Bale or Keaton or anybody who signed up for these superhero movies, it was like you maybe were going to see these guys two or three times in a superhero movie, and then they were going to be done. They were going to be burnt out. What do you think it is, besides just the money, because that's the obvious answer, right? But like besides just the money, why do you think that, because those actors could have gotten paid a shitload of money too at the time, whatever it was on the scale back then. Why do actors like this, whether it's a Henry Cavill who wants to keep coming back for Superman but hasn't been able to, Tom Holland, Iron Man, like, oh, besides just the money, why do you think they keep
besides
coming back?
Besides the money?
Besides the money.
What else is there?
because that's the thing, is that there's other deals behind there that were there for just the money that you could, because if you're, because there are these actors out there that are like, I don't want to be just, no. Look at Daniel Radcliffe. I mean, you probably get to a point where he's going to do another Harry Potter movie, the Harry Potter at like 60 or whatever, right?
I think you just used a really good example of why they keep doing it. I'm not saying this would happen to Tom Holland, but where's Daniel Radcliffe in the movie business?
He's just doing like independent films and stuff.
But you to keep your status, and if you don't get multiple franchises, I know Tom Holland now has
Uncharted.
But if you don't have multiple franchises and you're not out in the eye all the time,
right.
Eventually.
You're just doing independent films on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'll always get cast in something for a while, but then eventually it tapers.
And he's young. And he's young, too, because it's different for Downey, right? Downey can just do... Downey's going to be rolling around in cash until the day he dies at this point. So it's like he can afford to, like, okay, I'm not really... I can do what I want to do. I'll do smaller things. I'll pop up in this. Because what's he been doing lately?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe producing stuff. What does he have to do? He doesn't have to do shit.
Yeah.
So
he and Susan are raising kids.
And he's able to do that now. Good for him. After the life that guy's had, and he's able to kind of pull himself through. What a fucking story that is.
Yeah.
To be able to go, because I remember we went to his 40th birthday.
Yeah, I remember. It was fun.
That was fun. and
Sting was there.
That party was crazy. Yeah. But I remember when he was, because he was, that's when he was getting his shit together, right? And Susan kind of turned him around, and then he had just, I think Iron Man came like a year, or maybe a year or two after that.
It was like right after, I think.
No, it was before. That was 2005, 2006 is when it was that birthday party. He didn't get.
No. I know. It was right after, because I was still at Silver. No, I was still at Silver when Iron Man came out.
I know, but I wasn't. And I went to that party.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Iron Man came out in 2008.
I remember he had had a really tough time. Like he didn't get cast in, I think it was Must Love Dogs.
Yeah.
And got fired ICM.
They didn't want him from Iron Man.
Yeah.
They didn't want him from Iron Man. They forever had to fight for him. They wanted, because the insurance. They didn't want to pay the insurance on it. That, I mean, that's, you talk about, Favreau doesn't even, no matter how successful he is, he didn't have to work. Downey would be paying for his life for the rest of his existence. Yeah. But you ever work with Favreau?
No.
That guy is a fucking genius.
Yeah, I know. His career took a great turn.
He just did it right. Yeah. You're talking about the right moves and like just moving in the right spots and from not even directing, producing and he got a. If you ever watch like the behind the scenes stuff that he does, he's got such a grip on the tech, Like whether it's the Lion King stuff that he's doing, and now what he's doing, I keep calling it the I can't remember whether it's the Void or whatever. I mess it up every single time.
Oh, the
not the Void. What's it called?
Not the vacuum. The
I say it all the time, and people keep telling me I fuck it up every time.
Screens.
Yeah, it's volume.
Volume.
The volume.
Yeah.
So
vacuum, void.
Void, whatever. Volume. It's the same shit. You know what I'm talking about. and that technology is always like one step ahead of it. And now he's pretty much has him and Filoni are running Star Wars on the good part of Star Wars anyway. The films are, do you know what's been going on with that?
No. Are you going to tell me?
Yes. Because this is a great conversation to have with you, because these are points that I go back and forth, and these very healthy debates I've been having with the fan base on this. But like, so Kathleen Kennedy, she's running Lucasfilm. She takes over.
I know a lot of people aren't happy with
it. Right. Because this is what continues to happen. Now, from being behind the scenes, you've seen this a million times over, where you've been a part of this. You've seen it. We've seen it working when Joel was running shop. So with the film division, we'll talk about the TV division in a second, but the film division, get J.J. Abrams coming in, replaces Michael Apted and Lucas's script. That's the first part of it. And then there's rumors that was kind of a little bit of headbutting to start. But that kind of makes sense. So it's the first movie since after the prequels and the first one they were ever doing. So they're going to be cautious as it's the first one.
Yep.
Give them a pass. So then Rogue One comes out, and Gareth Edwards, massive problems. Pretty much that he's got to get replaced by Tony Gilroy throughout the whole thing, and but he keeps quiet for the most part and just does what he's supposed to do, nods and smiles, and does his thing, gets the credit for it. But it's massive problems.
Right.
Josh Trank has all those problems that he has, and then gets moved off the thing for Boba Fett. Lord Miller supposed to do Han Solo, they get removed, gone.
Yeah.
Well. Ryan Johnson. Does the movie, no problems at all, most divisive movie in Star Wars history.
Right.
And then Solo I mentioned. And then Episode 9, they're going to bring Colin Trevorrow, who just had his massive movie with Jurassic, but then he had Book of Henry. Then he's gone.
Right.
Right? And then J.J. comes back, and lowest rated Star Wars movie. It's not box office. And now, fast forward to a couple weeks ago, Patty Jenkins is involved to do the Rogue Squadron movie, leaves to creative differences.
Yep, saw that.
So they keep announcing movies, and they keep losing directors, or they replace directors. So people are always like, well, she's got to go, is what a lot of fans say. She's got to go. And my argument always is there's two things. You got to look at it like a professional baseball coach, right? She's won a lot of championships as far as money goes.
Yeah.
Solo is the only one that didn't perform, but that's also because it came out a month after Infinity War. Stupid. Right. They moved it away from December, which was successful for them, and it bombs out. Not bombs out, but just doesn't do well.
Right.
Doesn't mean that there's not a shit ton of problems over in the film division. This shit shouldn't keep happening.
Right.
But you can say, well, why is she still there? Because they look at Rise of Skywalker, $1 billion. $1 billion. And but it's diminishing returns. Maybe so, but it's still a fucking $1 billion. Yeah, the marketing costs a lot. It's still $1 billion. So you can understand that on paper, Disney looks at it and they go, well, she should, we understand why we're going to re-up her for 3 years. And then I say, you got the TV division. She has placed Favreau and Filoni in that spot as a good producer would do.
Right.
Here are the creatives. Do what you got to do. Bring it, make it work. She's not doing that in film. She's getting very involved in the creative side of things and trying to meddle maybe a little bit more so than she should. I feel that she should get a Filoni or Favreau, if not just them, someone like them.
But who is that?
Filoni and Favreau.
Was JJ.
It wasn't JJ. JJ for his movies, but JJ did not.
But I mean, on paper, it was.
But I'm glad it wasn't, because JJ is a great starter. He's a terrible closer.
Right.
Whether it's Lost or whatever it is.
Right.
He from what I heard, he didn't really. You look at what Favreau and Filoni did, and I use this point every single time when I'm talking to someone new about it. What Filoni and Favreau say on their on the gallery series on Disney Plus, they said the reason why what they wanted to do with Mandalorian was they wanted to make they didn't want to make an homage to Star Wars. They wanted to make a thing that was an homage to the stuff that inspired Star Wars, like the Kurosawa stuff, the spaghetti westerns, things like that. JJ didn't do that. Right. JJ made his own kind of fan
same movie
fan film.
He made two repeated.
He made his version of what he wanted Star Wars to be.
Very similar stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that he was nowhere near in charge of the creative of the overall, like a Feige.
Yeah,
Feige does.
Yeah, I was thinking of Feige as you talk about.
That's what you need. You need somebody like that to run the film. But do you think if you were running the studio after all of those things, would you have hired Kathleen Kennedy back after 3 years? Yes or no, and why not?
Well, that's a tough question. Probably yes, because you put your finger on it. The money. I mean, if it's not broke financially and you're a big giant,
even with the first one making $2 billion and then the next one making $1 billion,
I mean,
still $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because she's been writing it out this long and on paper with money doing well,
right?
But yeah, you're under spotlight.
You got to say get it in order. This can't keep happening.
Yeah. You know, it's like I'm a big Ohio State fan, and so this last weekend was Michigan Ohio State, and Harbaugh hadn't beat Ohio State in like 10 years.
Yeah,
and even though he has great winning records,
yeah,
if you don't beat Ohio State, you're gone.
Right.
And this is similar. It's like you have to keep the fans happy, or
well, the film division fans are not happy.
No, I know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're not. So I understand.
I wasn't happy with Jar Jar Binks, like, you know.
That was the prequels. The prequels for sure, but the difference, and there's a whole different. You look at the people that grew up with those movies now; they fucking love the prequels. And I'll be honest, I found a newfound respect for the prequels now, especially the way they tie into like other series. Right. But the essence of those stories are Star Wars, and still the things because George wrote them. They're for kids. There's no doubt about it. But they're still Star Wars linked in the same way. The original. The new trilogy had no plan to it. It was just kind of thrown together. It looked like they were just kind of taking advantage of the IP and saying,
It's Star Wars, guys. Yeah, I agree with that.
So what do you do?
What would you do? Start over? You start the narrative over, figure out a different version of this story? I mean, look, Star Wars with is seven, Star Wars because of Luke.
You mean the new movies? People want to retcon them and do all that. You can't do that. I think what they've been doing well in Mandalorian. Have you watched Mandalorian?
Yes.
Both seasons?
Yes.
So they're starting to kind of piece in the silliness that happened in episode 9. The silliest thing is somehow Palpatine returned.
Right.
How? Dark cloning Sith magic. Okay. but in the Mandalorian, they're introducing cloning through episodes. Mm-hmm. And like they keep discovering things throughout episodes. You're like, oh. So when you finally, if there's 5 or 6 seasons of the Mandalorian where they set it up, like, okay, now when I get to this stupid line in episode, and God bless Dominic Monaghan for having to deliver that thing. But like when you finally get there, you go, okay, I see because of all the history put together. But like that shouldn't be on Filoni and Favreau to fill up those gaps.
Right.
But to answer your question, what I would do is I would say, because I don't buy in when people who just don't like her, they say, well, she shouldn't get credit for TV. It's her division too.
Right.
She should. Well, she stays out of the way of Filoni and Favreau.
That's what a good boss does.
That's what a good boss does.
Yeah.
But my reasoning of why she does that and why she's able to do that, because it's very different than of the objective and the goals for what you have to do on the streaming as opposed to what you have to do at film.
Right.
All you got to do is if you put the right series together, because if I can get you to hook on through Mandalorian,
yep,
you're already subscribed, so you're probably going to watch Andor when it comes out. Yep. You wouldn't subscribe for Andor, but you'll watch it because you're already subscribed. The movies, I got to hook you, and I got to get you to spend $10 to $15 right away. And that's the money piece. Because when that money, if that, like you said, if you don't deliver on that, it's okay. If people aren't watching as much as Andor, they're going to watch Obi-Wan.
Right.
So, okay, fine, guys. Do your thing. Who do you want to do that? Great, great, great. Just make sure you have that. We need you to be able to do this, blah, blah, blah. Do your thing. Yeah. She's too dug in because from what I hear, she doesn't like inside baseball stuff. Inside baseball is working tremendously in Mandalorian, but she thinks it's not going to play in film. She's wrong.
Right.
And if you do that, like what I would do is I would say get someone like a Feige, like a Filoni Favreau, let them run the film division. You're a good producer, do your thing, and go do an original story, whether it's the Old Republic, New Republic, whatever the fuck the new one, High Republic, all that stuff, and just be a producer.
I agree with you, but who is that person?
That's the trick. That's the job too. Find them.
No, I know that's true. Most of these people who have her job are people who are really good at story.
Yeah.
Right. Like they know character inside and out, and that's where they focus. And they're also really good at managing production.
Right.
Right? So they're really good at saying like, okay, we go here and blah blah blah. Right. Not always are those people fanboys. Feige was a fanboy.
Right.
Right.
100%. And I think that's, you don't need to be, but you can't be a not fanboy, fangirl and try to get so creative and decide, no, this is what the fans are going to like. If you don't love it, you don't have to love it to have the job, but you've got to find someone who does, who can start to push that narrative to say, okay, I didn't think that would work, but you guys proved me wrong here.
Yeah.
But it's her ass that's on the line. So you understand the hesitancy, but when you put Patty Jenkins up there, especially when you say this is the first female director in Star Wars films that we're ever going to do, because Deborah Chow is doing it for Obi-Wan.
Right.
But when you do that and you make this big announcement and then she leaves, coupled with all the rest of the other ones that have left, it's a bad look.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a bad look. What happened with the Game of Thrones guys, with Dan and David?
Another example. I forgot all about them. Same thing. They had that created, like, whether or not it was because the last season didn't go over as well, I'm glad you brought them up, because they, same thing. They were rumored to do a whole series of movies of how the Sith and the Jedi kind of started.
Right.
And that was exciting. Fell apart, gone. Mm. Didn't work out. Creative differences.
Yeah.
It's like that keeps happening in films, and it's like in TV, not happening as much. Like, they just said that the Rangers of the New Republic got canceled, but that's because Gina Carano was part of it, and then I think it was led with her, so it fell apart the same way that the Boba Fett movie fell apart with Josh Trank, because he's not doing it anymore, and they introduced Boba Fett in a very different way through television, and now it works.
Yeah.
So
that trailer was good.
Really good. The bigger question here that is really something that I need to know is, how are you guys shaving your balls? that's the big question, because not a lot of people are asking that one, and I gotta ask you, because it's important. It's very, very important to shave your ball bags. Okay, so here you go. Listen to this. Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays came very early here at Manscaped, which is the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new ultra-premium body wash. I used it today. It is wonderful. I smell wonderful. It is a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. You got to go to manscaped.com and use that code BIGTHING for 20% off and free shipping. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible. You don't want to have Santa's beard in your pants. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. And I am talking about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Long time ago, before I had Manscaped, I started to say, oh, man, it's like a bushel, and I don't want it. So I tried to go in there with a machete. It's fucked up. I'll tell you that. You don't want to do that. It is not great. And I have told him, Naveed was not aware of Manscaped coming into this. I know exactly what to get this scumbag for Christmas.
It doesn't mean I have a beard down there.
But I'm telling you. Inside this Performance Package 4.0, you're going to find the signature lawnmower. That's the one. This electric trimmer has the shit. It's got the advanced skin safe. It's got technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with the less of the mess. What they also did, they launched the new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which I've been, I threw my old shampoo, I threw it, it's still in the garbage can, and it was half full as soon as I got this. It was a waste, but it's worth it. It has key ingredients. And it includes hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGTHING at manscaped.com. So stop being a fucking asshole and get it. It's the best. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGTHING at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code BIGTHING. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. You got to try this, dude.
I will.
It is really, really good. Use that code, because it's you'll rave about it. Ken came in here and because they had sent me like three of them, and I gave him one, and he's just like, "All right, I'll try it," and he just never went back.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm surprised you never heard of it.
No, but I use my fiance's
thing. You'll never do it again. You'll never do it again. It is you'll spend extra time in there, and she's going to think you're taking 73 dumps, but you're really going to be trimming it up like a barbershop in there. It's the truth. But yeah, man. So a lot of that's why I like having you on, because of that perspective of what happens inside of the job. And you also don't know what the conversations are like, whether it's Kathleen Kennedy, anybody, of like what you want to do next, right? Because you would assume that what she wants to do is run a studio, like not just Lucasfilm.
But why would you want to run a studio?
You don't think so? You don't think she'd want to take like a, you know, Chappick is, I always say every time Chappick comes out from Disney, it's like, you might as well play the Benny Hill music. he's a clown.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I at some point, you know, being the corporate stooge and not necessarily running creative and getting credits on movies.
But look at what Bob, what's his face? Iger. I mean, he was like the ultimate.
Iger crushed it.
That was like the ultimate executive. He seemed like, you know, he knew, he just.
I was talking about this yesterday because, you know, I told you I teach at USC. I teach a business class on Hollywood. And one of the papers was about the problems at Paramount in particular, this one paper. And because that's I asked them to write papers about two problems they would have fixed at a studio. Yeah. And in Paramount in particular, because they didn't have streaming in time stuff like that. But I'm really and the other big one, the other thing that they did at Paramount was they had the chance to buy Marvel and didn't. Right, and Disney swooped in. They had to pay out Marvel.
Why did they do that? Why?
Because they were too averse to spending money.
And I guess also because they had, well, no, it was Universal, Hulk. Because Hulk came out and
It was made at Universal, because
Paramount was Iron Man, right? Yeah. First Iron Man.
But it was just a distribution deal.
For the first Paramount, the first Iron Man.
Are
you sure?
I don't think so. Maybe not the first Iron Man, I think you're right. Right after that, they raised all the money. They financed the movies themselves, and they had an output deal with Paramount.
And they got rid, and they didn't. They had a chance to buy it, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but Iger bought Star Wars. Iger bought Pixar,
and he got it for it. And the fact, you know, when you look at, he got Star Wars for $4 billion.
I know. Which at the time, everybody was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then almost within a year, it was like, oh, wait.
I'll tell you, though, I didn't think it was a lot when it happened. Because, I mean, for an individual to get $4 billion, of course, it's a lot of money. But when you think about it, like, they're going to make that back
in
two movies.
A couple movies.
Yeah.
Toys.
Yeah, toys and merch. Like they already made that, like, times three.
Yeah.
And plus Marvel. I mean, I want to know how much they bought Marvel for.
Yeah.
Because that's where Marvel has surpassed.
Well, we know?
Well, sure, somewhere. I'm sure it's public information. I just don't remember. But
the crazy part is Marvel was in bankruptcy. Like,
I know.
Not that long before that.
No, I know. It was a dream to do all these Avengers movies. Yeah. People now, I remember back in the day when we were kids and thinking like how great it would be to see like Arnold and Sly in a movie together.
Yeah.
And it was so, you're never going to see it because it's going to cost the studio too much money. It'll never happen. And then the idea that you're going to get movie, like all of these big actors in one movie and then do it four or five times.
Right.
And it's insane to even think about. But now it's like, yeah, people have done it before and you can use that model. Well, yeah, well, they did it before and, in Avengers, so we can do it now. But I mean, it surpassed. It's very similar to how I think, you know, grow in the 1930s, 40s, even up until like the 70s, baseball was considered like America's pastime and still kept that moniker for a long time. Yeah. But football is really, American football is really what America's top sport. To me, Marvel is football and Star Wars is baseball. Because it was from 70s until 80s.
Yeah, makes sense.
It was Star Wars. And I mean, and I'm still a baseball fan over football, but I understand that football is the, you know, is the premier sport.
Right. I'm curious, how long do you think this keeps going?
Marvel?
Yeah.
They
have the different.
They have the phases. Shows and they have
no,
the.
No, but they have
you
the
mean
the
movies
like,
themselves?
Okay, no, yeah.
I mean, well, this will go on at least another 10 years for sure.
Right.
Right. And the question is how many more phases afterwards? And then as long as. It's very similar, and people are going, how is it similar at all to The Bachelor, right? So The Bachelor is a show. That fucking show has been on the air for 21 years.
Right.
And people are like, how does it stay on the air so long? Because people keep growing up with it.
Right.
And people keep finding it, and people keep going, okay, here's a 12 or 13-year-old girl watching it for the first time with her mom.
Yeah.
And now she's 24, and she's watching it with her 13 or 14-year-old, and or whatever.
Start, and then start 24. The stories all over again, remake them.
It just keeps happening. Like that. I worked on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's the same shit. It's the same fucking music they use for the same scenes, and it's the same thing. How many sick times are you going to see someone on a fucking airplane jumping out of the thing? But it's like to a new person. You don't remember any of these people. That the big stars of The Bachelor are no one remembers. Like I talked to my wife the other day. I said, do you think anyone remembers Jake Pavelka? Nobody remembers Jake Pavelka except me because I worked with Jake Pavelka, right? But he was like the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the same goes true to like Marvel and Star Wars. You know, it's like you grow up with it. I showed my oldest Empire Strikes Back. We watched that, and hopefully she shows it to her kids, and it builds, and the same thing with Marvel. So if people, and now streaming's changing the game too.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You said it before. Spider-Man, not necessarily something you're crazy about, but your kids want to see it.
Yeah.
And your kids will see it.
Caden's girlfriend is a massive Tom Holland fan.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the end. It's going to keep going on until as long as, and what I do think that they do, even there's a lot of formulaic shit going on in it, they do try to change up the genres, right? Like, so if you look at like Winter Soldier, which is like their spy thriller, you look at Ant-Man, it's a heist film. By doing that, and even, did you watch any of the series?
Yeah.
So like, WandaVision, I thought was very creative.
It's funny, we were just talking about this too. The first two episodes of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
DC.
Yeah. Did you like them? Did you watch them?
I thought the tone was weird and silly, goofy, right? It was so goofy. The guys with the sweats, like, come on. But I had a similar reaction to the first two episodes of WandaVision, where I was like, this is goofy, I don't get it. And then by the end, I was like, oh, this is really smart.
WandaVision had a very Lost feel to me.
Yeah.
Like WandaVision was. So
it was cool. To your point about trying different genres within the universe, WandaVision did a really good job.
That was my least anticipated one out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I wind up really enjoying it because of how creative it was. And then I said, what they did that was smart, it's very similar to Hawkeye, is they released them both at the same time, two episodes in the first. Because if you just release that 1950s episode, you'll lose a lot of people.
Yeah.
By doing two, they show you what the show is going to be by the time you hit, I think, like even the end of the first, but more so the second episode that I thought worked really, really well. And then it evolves into the classic Marvel thing. I definitely feel a goofiness to Hawkeye, but I don't mind it. I think their chemistry is good, Haley Steinfeld and Renner, which I like. My biggest issue, and again, it was caused a big, I did a review of the first two episodes. My biggest issue was that they set up Kate Bishop very well and saying, look, she's five years old.
I like that opening scene.
But that was great. But she's 5 years old. She's an archer. She's a taekwondo. She can kick your ass, right? I don't mind that. What I mind is, no matter who it is, she's not running around fighting bad guys all of her life. She's a rich kid running around. So the first time, and
she
says that
she's a superhero.
She's jumping. She's doing backflips, and she's doing and people are like, well, she got her ass kicked. I'm not talking about just getting punched in the face. I'm talking about the attitude of just like, what the fuck did I get myself into?
She sees
a dead body. And she's like, ah! She's a dead body, and then but I don't mind. Like, well, she got punched in the head. I don't mind that she's able to fight and stuff. That makes sense.
Maybe you should take Kathleen Kennedy's job.
Please, no thanks. Please, if I say you can't, you can't in this fucking space. I don't look. She got a thankless job, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that again, Favreau and Filoni right now, to me that would work. But anyway, But I am interested to see where Hawkeye and this show is going to go. Because it's
got to go somewhere.
It's got to go. I think it will. Did you see Black Widow?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't love that one. Did you love that one?
I love the first half of it.
Yeah.
And then once they go up to the fucking spaceship.
Same.
The first half of it was great.
Same. I liked, you mean the helicopter?
Whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
No, when they go up to fight bad guys in space or not space, whatever the hell that ship was.
Oh, right, at the end of the movie. Yeah, right. I liked Florence Pugh in it a lot.
Yeah, she's great.
And I think that I mean, Scarlet Johansson is always great, but it's just it's repetitive.
The thing Marvel does really well, I mean, it's from the comics, but they set up a character dynamic that you expand upon and study and make it interesting and compelling, and they put action in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem I'm having with Hawkeye.
I feel like you would love Loki. Did you watch Loki?
I did watch Loki.
Did you love it?
I loved it. Because I love time travel
stuff. That's what I mean.
I loved it until the last two episodes.
Too crazy for you?
It just went off the rails.
Oh, see, then I don't think you're going to like the Spider-Man thing. Because I think they're going to do... I like the off-the-rails thing that they did.
Wait, what do you mean? The multiverse stuff? Yeah, I'm down with multiverse. Oh, okay. I love multiverse ideas. I think it's cool if they do it right.
Okay.
The problem, I think, is going to be, is they're going to throw a million things at the screen all at once. It's going to be multiverse. It's going to be 800 bad guys. It's going to be, and then I'm just going to be like,
too much. Yeah. So that was the problem with Spider-Man 3.
Yep.
All right, before we get into, Naveed's going to tell us when you get hit by a car in a second. But before we get into that, I wanted to bring up to you guys, I've been eating a lot of this stuff, this magic spoon. It's really good. It's really good. I like the peanut butter and chocolate stuff, and I'll get into that in a second. I'm going to jump ahead. But Naveed and I were talking about it beforehand because he was like, cereal, we cut that out. A lot of people have cereal in general because growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but everybody gives it up now because it's just full of sugar, and it's junk that you really shouldn't eat. So for myself, I've been trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food, and so is Naveed. You realize you can't eat anything that you really like anymore, especially at Naveed's old age. So you tried protein shakes and powder, but you can finally find a delicious way to get protein before and after workouts. So we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't always have to be boring. This is why I love Magic Spoon. It has amazing flavors that you're going to love, but without all the bad stuff. All right, here you go, Naveed. Check this out.
Yeah.
0 grams of sugar. 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. There's only 140 calories in each serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Did you say it's
keto-friendly?
Keto-friendly.
Oh, keto.
Yeah, I said keto. Variety pack. 4 flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. So I do the peanut butter and the chocolate one. It's really good. It tastes like a peanut butter cup, but it's good for you. It tastes exactly like your regular cereal from your childhood, but it's super nutritious. And it's delicious, but it's super healthy cereal that really brings joy to your mornings or your afternoons. Hell, I had it for a nighttime snack. Go to magicspoon.com/bigthing to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use the promo code BIGTHING at checkout and you save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. And they should be. It's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they're going to refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/bigthing and use that code BIGTHING to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Nice. I definitely have to try that.
You got to try it. I'll give you some of it before you take off. It's really good.
I think we were talking about how we cut out cereal.
I did too. I hadn't had cereal in forever. And when I sent it, I was like, okay, cereal. And then I'm looking at all the stuff. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, but does it taste good? I'm like, holy.
Was it made with cow parts?
No, it's not made with cow parts. It's delicious though, man. It's really, really good. The different flavors are great. Mix them.
Okay.
Mix them together. All right, tell us. You almost got hit by a car.
I did get hit by a car.
Yeah. Where were you, in Russia?
Yeah.
Did you guess
that or did I tell you?
No, I guessed it. because I could see them trying to hit you because you're. You know, it's you.
I was in Russia. I was in Moscow. Oh. I was doing a movie.
Not Jonathan Moscow. Moscow.
Moscow. I was doing a movie, and it was right before we started shooting, and I took the cast out to dinner.
Who's the cast? Tell us.
Okay, I can tell you because I'm Joel Kinnaman, okay. Emil Hirsch, bunch of girls.
Okay, when was this? How long ago?
This was, I was at Regency, so I don't know. 10, 12 years ago.
Okay,
12,
so, yeah, no, so why wouldn't before, you tell us?
Okay. No, I mean, yeah, it was 10, 12 years ago.
Okay, so you're sitting there with Kinnaman and Emil Hirsch.
But we're out of dinner, and everybody goes, let's go to a club. So I had someone get us a table
let me guess. So there's, if I was going to guess the partier out of that group, I'm going to say it's Kinnaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a maniac.
Yeah, it seems
like. Oh, man, that guy.
He parties.
Yeah.
All right.
So, or he used to. I don't know if he still does. So, so we went out, we went to this club, and then at one point in the night, I black out. Like, I just don't remember anything. And I'm going to tell you the PG version of the story. I woke up in my hotel room, not remembering anything.
Naked.
Yes. Yeah. To say the least.
To say the least. Like, you ever see The Hangover? Pussy.
Dude, The Hangover, I lived it. Yeah. So I wake up, I'm like, I don't remember. I just remember being at the club. I don't remember how I got nothing. And so I go down to the doorman. I'm like, were you here when I got home? He's like, yeah. And I said, "What? How did I get home?" He goes, it was like 6:30 in the morning, and someone dropped you off, and you were really drunk. And I was like, okay, that's it? And he's like, yeah. I go, who dropped me off? He doesn't know. So finally, we had another event later that afternoon, and all five members of the cast come running out to me, and they're like, Navid, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? Perfect. And they're like, you don't remember? I was like, no. They go, well, how's your leg? I'm like, it's fine. They're like, you don't remember? I'm like, no. They go, you got hit by a car last night. So what happened was that Emil, or was it Joel? No, it was Joel.
Pushed you in
Joel,
front of
him. No, Joel came up to me at the club, took a bottle of vodka, grabbed me by the face, and just poured a whole bottle down my throat. I didn't remember that, but that's how I, you know, took the whole bottle and just poured it down my throat. And then as we were leaving, it was the World Cup was going on, so and Sweden had lost that day, and he's half Swedish. And I was teasing him about Sweden losing.
So he hit you with the gun.
No. But it was a packed sidewalk, and I step off the curb into Russian traffic, which even at 5 in the morning or whatever is like crazy.
And they're not going to see if you're okay. They're going to punch you in the head.
I got hit by a car. No, I got hit by a car. I'm laying on the curb, my leg, and that. But here's a funny
with your leg.
You're like, holding my leg. Yeah, here's a funny addendum to the story. Like a week later, I get home, and I just grab some pants out of my suitcase and I put them on, and they were like these khaki, like these tan colored pants. And I look down later, and I have this smudge mark on the inside of my leg, and it even had writing in Cyrillic from where the car had made an imprint, whatever.
How did you, like, what do you got, metal in your leg? How did you
survive? I don't know. You know. When you're drunk, you know, you bounce off things, I guess.
But it doesn't make your bones, you know, better. How did you?
I don't know.
You have no idea how to survive.
I don't remember anything. And I'm telling you the PG version of the story.
Well, listen, you made it. You're here today. But
barely.
I want to know, somewhere there's got to be traffic cam of that. Somewhere. There's traffic cam of everything. There's traffic cam from like 1970.
That's actually a good point. I wonder.
By the way, speaking of it, before we jump, did you watch any of that Beatles stuff?
Yeah, we watched the first half of the first episode.
Me too. I watched it. Incredible.
I know. It's crazy that this was out there and no one knew about it.
First of all, not only that, it looks like it was shot yesterday.
I know.
Because they cleaned it. Peter Jackson cleaned it up so well. Yeah. So for people who don't know, it's Get Back, which is the Beatles doc. And it's whatever year, 1969, I think it is.
Yes. Like so it's 69. It's the beginning of 69.
It's the beginning of 69. And so I'm a Rolling Stones guy, Doors. It doesn't matter. Definitely appreciate the Beatles. Think they're one of the greatest.
I'm a huge Beatles fan.
They're great. They're great. My dad, it's very similar to where my dad, I lived in Queens, but I was a Yankee fan.
Right.
My dad listened to the Stones. I listened to the Stones. I just responded to the Stones a little bit more, but love the Beatles. Beatles is like, to me, is like Seinfeld. I appreciate how great it is. Just never went out of my way to like watch or listen to it. You know what I mean? So that being said, these are just some of the greatest artists of all time. And then
it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. So for people who don't know, it is, they basically get this studio because the Beatles had decided they want to play live anymore because the live scene is very different than like what it is today and the way that they were in the technology that they had. And even when they're like bringing
the
A-track machine.
They wanted to record an album live and they had to write the whole album.
They had to write it in a couple of days.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, yes. A
couple of weeks. But they're sitting there doing this and just watching Paul McCartney come up with Get Back.
Yeah.
When he's sitting there and he's just, and they're, and you just see, Harrison's yawning in the background, and then finally they're like, get back, and he just starts riffing and going at it, and I'm like, holy shit, it's like you watch this, it's insane. And then watching the dynamic between John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and then seeing pictures of them when they're kids, like you said, the fact that this stuff existed. And they even say it inside the doc, they're like, what, wait, we're recording this? Like, yeah, they're gonna make it into some like show.
Yeah.
And then they do 50 2 years later or whatever it is. Yeah. Nuts. Yeah. So did your kids watch it too?
Scarlett watched some of it with us. She started to get bored because she didn't have the appreciation. Yeah. She's young. She didn't have appreciation for
Vivian,
it.
Vivian, same thing. She was watching. She was pretty in awe of it. And then a lot of the talking happened. She didn't get the full scale of it.
Yeah. We haven't gotten there yet, but there's some fighting that comes up.
Oh, is there?
Well, it's funny you say George Harrison yawning. I guess he gets annoyed at the power dynamic of the other two in this.
You see it at one point.
Yeah.
In the beginning of it, where George is talking about trying to write lyrics, and John just kind of shines him on a little bit. Yeah. He's like, yeah, because I want to like be a part of it and do the writing too. And John's like, all right. It's kind of like, yeah, all right. It's like I've seen people, you and I have talked to people that way. You've been talked to that way when someone's just like they're trying to be polite, but they're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Like interest in having.
I can't wait to finish the rest of it.
It's really, really fascinating for people who haven't checked it out. It's on and what I also
know how much Disney paid for it.
Shit ton, I'm sure. Because what they tried to do though, they had to make some you mentioned addendums. They had to make some choices that they didn't normally do. And I think that's because Alan Horn stepped down, right? He's not there anymore.
I don't know. Did he step down?
I think so. I thought he retired. Because I remember when he was at Warner Brothers, like he's got a big thing, and I actually appreciate this. He's got a big thing about showing. He don't like people smoking.
Yeah,
he don't like people smoking
or hurting dogs.
Right.
Right.
I'm cool with that, especially for kids. Right. Yeah. I think that it does. I think there's certain times in Disney. I don't think you need smoking. Right. Like so there are times in other movies, in a Tarantino movie or other thing, like to cut out smoking is silly because it's what happens, and you know.
Yeah.
But for Disney movies, sometimes you don't need it, but. They give you that warning up in this that they because apparently Disney wanted to cut some of the cursing and they're like no you're not cutting the cursing, you're not cutting the smoking. This is what the doc is. You either want it, you don't want it,
right?
And like, we'll take it because they knew. Look at what Hamilton did.
Yeah, no, I know.
This thing's crushing
a lot of money.
Everybody's talking about this thing as they should be. It's phenomenal, and I've only watched like an hour.
Yeah. It feels like it should have been on Apple.
Yeah, which makes sense, but. Yeah. Disney's got the cash.
Yeah,
you know, you Disney can make the offers. That's why it ties back into everything we've been talking about today.
Yeah,
Kathleen Kennedy puts out a movie, does $1 billion. Yeah, buy the Beatles doc. Yeah. And we got it. Oh, Marvel just made another whatever it is, $2 billion. Buy this, buy that. They can do that.
Yeah,
it's a monopoly, but hey,
yeah,
that's how you fucking play the game.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. I don't know that I would want to be the head of a studio these days. It's back to the Kathleen Kennedy thing.
What's Greg Silverman doing?
He's running his production company, Stampede. He just had an announcement yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was running
Warner's.
He was running Warner's for a little bit, right?
He was the president of production.
Yeah.
He went not the CEO. Yeah,
but he's running his own shit now?
Yeah. He raised money, supposedly can finance film, definitely financing development. I think he's doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a movie. Catherine Hardwick was going to direct it.
Okay.
She just fell out last week.
Oh, okay.
A horror movie.
Oh, it's you and Silverman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what's going on with the Eliza thing?
Can I talk about that?
You talked about it last
time.
I brought it up. Yeah.
But did I say that I sold it?
No.
Oh.
I guess you just sold it. Oh, you did. You said to Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did say. Okay. Well, we're still negotiating. They lowballed us as producers. And I made threats.
Oh. What kind of threats can you say or no?
Yeah, I mean, I said the way it works in Hollywood is if you take something out, generally speaking, you want the most heat around it. So you take it to as many people as possible. You build up a lot of momentum, and everybody wants it, and they pay you a shit ton of money.
Yeah,
we hadn't gone to anybody else, and except for one indie financier who wanted it, and so I gave it to Kevin Hart's people because
the
guy who runs his friend of mine.
Yeah,
and they wanted to do it. They took it to Netflix. 4 months later, still waiting on Netflix to make us a producing deal offer. Long story short, because it's a lower budget movie, they're not giving Kevin's company their full freight.
Yeah.
We thought we'd get a piece of his fat deal, and we're not. And so we had to figure out our own deal. And it's that's now, where we
are. Does that play into, because Eliza had her movie that was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Did it do okay?
It did better than I think they thought it was going to do.
So that's why I was wondering.
There was a conversation around that because it was right before it came out where they were like,
But then it came out, they did okay.
Yeah.
So since she's able, you're able to kind of leverage.
And she also is attached to direct this.
Okay, so that was what you said last time. You weren't, but it is that she decided she wanted to do that.
Yeah, okay. She's yes. Yeah, that's great. I mean, long story short, she's got to go in and present it to them,
great,
what she wants to do. But I think her vision for it's amazing.
Good. I love Eliza. So before we get you out of here, last thing is, I feel like you, there's so many books and science fiction books that you had read and knew about. Yeah. I feel like Wheel of Time was your, you knew about it a long time ago.
Oh, dude, there's so many. There's so
but
many.
But this Wheel of Time thing, I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet either.
But I hear it's great.
Yeah.
And it so I get comments about it. Like, I got to review it. You got to review it. You got to check this out. And last night I watched the trailer. I like Rosamund Pike. I didn't realize she was in it. And I watched the trailer with my wife. And she's like, oh, this is pretty much a replacement for Game of Thrones, huh? And I was like, it seems more Lord of the Rings than it is Game of Thrones.
It is definitely more Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because, and I mean, because Game of Thrones is like Lord of the Rings rated
R.
Super R, almost X at some points, right? Yeah. But this doesn't seem as kind of like Macbeth-y, you know?
Right. Right. Correct.
Yeah, this seems more fantasy. Right. You probably get some, you know, with the orcs and it looks like that kind of shit. So,
there was a lot. There's a ton of books. There's still a bunch. I was having Scarlett read a couple of them that I liked as a kid. That I think still I think part of the reason why they couldn't ever be made into movies is because trying to fit it into 2 hours, you know, is hard. Man. But series. Yeah. I know, and that's why you're seeing it all. Foundation, Wheel of Time,
Percy Jackson. They're redoing it now.
Is a series?
Yeah, they're doing it for Disney Plus. Yeah,
yeah. And there's actually a lot of books out there that did we talk about this? What Jesse, when he was my assistant, did at Silver?
Kind of. I owe him a phone call.
I had him. Oh, he's just going to want you to invest money.
That's what I figured.
Hey Jesse. so I had him take all the Hugo Award winners and the Nebula Award winners, every one of them forever, and take everything they've ever written and put it into a database with a log line next to it, even short stories. And so it was like, here's this short story by Isaac Asimov. Here's this short story by Philip K. Dick, you know, all of them and like log lines. And then we went through every single log line and went, that sounds cool. Let's read it.
I remember Altered Carbon, man.
Yeah. And so I think somewhere I still have it, this massive database. I found Ted Chiang, the guy who wrote the short story that Arrival was based on.
Okay.
I found that through that database before anybody knew who he was.
Why are you not? I know that you like movies, obviously. Yeah. Why are you not just a television producer right now? With the amount of books that you've read and the amount of books of what you just said and that you could turn into actually, because now you get the kind of budgets that you used to be able to get for you know.
Here's another good story.
Yeah.
10 years ago, it was exactly 10 years ago. This is actually two good stories.
You told me this on Netflix when you went to Netflix.
Yeah, the Netflix one. But there was another thing that happened right before that. I went into William Morris when I lost my job at New Regency because a new guy came in and fired everybody.
Right.
And I had been doing studio shit for 12 years and was tired of developing something and then it not going. And, you know, the usual Hollywood thing. I was just fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
And I went into William Morris, and they were like, go into TV. And this was, again, right before the Netflix boom and everything else. I was like, well, I didn't come here to do TV. Why would I do TV? And TV had a really, 10 years, even 10 years ago, it still sucked.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would I go into TV? I remember being so upset that he said that, that I almost started crying. I was like, why?
Right.
And they were like, TV's the future for at least the next 10, 15 years. It's the future. Because they had just gotten out of a staff meeting with Ari and Patrick, who said, take all of your clients out of movies and put them into TV. And I didn't listen or pay attention. And then the funny thing is that Netflix story that told last time happened like 3 weeks later.
Right.
And I was like, you know, like again, not seeing me. Look, I'll admit it. I totally missed the boat on it.
Yeah.
To answer your question.
It was your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To answer your question, I do know about a lot of books. The problem is, me as a TV producer, I mean, I don't mean fuck all. They only care about writers or if you control IP.
Yeah, but unless you get one.
I know. I have to. Yes. Unless you get one and you start. Which I'll do.
That got Wheel of Time.
Yeah. No, I know. But the next move is to try to figure out a way to raise money to acquire a bunch of this IP. And then you go get a, you know, Benioff or whoever. Like big TV guy to go, ooh, I like that. And then you're off to the races.
That's how you do it.
But to control the IP is key now. Yeah. And I have a list of books. But
that's the beauty though, because in movies right now, the ones that are making money are Marvel and Star Wars and the ones that are going to, because people don't want it, because I think that when you have Ridley Scott going out there talking about the reason the movie industry, because of streaming, it's also, if I know that I can see a really good movie now or a good series on streaming, I'm going to watch on streaming.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't need to go spend $15 or $20. I really want to see that. What was the one that he did with Ben Affleck and Damon, the last duel?
The last duel, yeah.
I really want to see that movie.
That he blames on millennials and their phones.
Come on.
I don't really want to see that movie. But I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I just don't want to see it in the theaters. I don't need to see it in the theaters.
That's a big problem. It's another thing we've been talking about in my business class. It's a big problem right now for the business that if you're not seeing it in theater because of the back-end money, right?
Yeah.
For producers, you get paid out for streaming stuff, and that's it. You don't see a penny ever after that.
They're going to change deals, though. Deals are going to change.
They're going to get worse.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to get worse. Disney's already cutting out any of the buyouts.
Because you don't need them.
Yeah. No. The buyouts, you know, giving people, like, here's a little bit extra because you're not getting back end. Right, they're getting rid of that. Yeah.
Right.
So I have to tell you one other quick thing.
Yeah, please.
Because I just thought of it. Tell me the story. The other day, Scarlett, my youngest, was watching. She said, can I watch something? She turned on the TV. And in the background, I heard someone say, Tila.
Yeah,
I went, are you watching He-Man? And she was like, yeah, how the hell did you know that? And I'm like, because Tila, right? But it's...
You're watching the Kevin Smith ones?
Yeah, are they on Netflix?
The Revelations one.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two on Netflix.
I didn't look to see which one she's watching. But that's gotten to another generation.
Of course, because the way that it's built out. But like that's the whole thing is that I think that, and I've been arguing for why I think, I don't give a shit. It's going back to the Star Wars conversation. I don't give a shit if I ever see a Star Wars movie in a theater again. Will I?
Oh, yeah.
Go see it if it comes out? Yeah, it's a big spectacle, and that's how Star Wars movies look great.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see Mandalorian as a two-hour movie. I want to be able to build those characters. Yeah. I want to be able to build, like, Obi-Wan. I'm so glad Obi-Wan is going to be 7 hours. It's a seven-hour movie.
Yeah.
With Deborah Chow directing the whole thing.
And you spend more time, I talk about this all the time, you spend more time with the characters.
Yes.
You get to, like, develop them. It's much more compelling and interesting. There's a counterbalance to that, though, that I said recently. I said to somebody the other day, I'm tired of these fucking series that are just only character.
Yeah.
Where, like, literally nothing happens.
Yeah.
I hate to bag it because a friend of mine wrote it, but have you watched Invasion?
No.
Invasion is like alien invasion happening, but by episode four, it's still... The woman who found out her husband's cheating on her and blah blah blah. Like, and nothing's happening.
Right. You got to have a couple of big moments. You got
to
have moments.
Yeah. That partially is due to the pandemic. But they rewrote it to be more contained. But enough with the long.
You gotta have the moments. You gotta have the moments for sure because it's still why you're watching the series, and it's still, you gotta have those big moments that happen and develop because you care of the stories. Because you're with the characters, and then when that big thing happens, it's more than just a big thing happening.
Yep.
It's like that, and that's usually what happens in movies. They're so crammed together that you can't spend enough time with them, that you have two and a half hours or whatever it is, or 2:20 to try to cram everything in and make you care. And the other big thing that the reason why I scream for television is because if I don't like an episode of Mandalorian, episode 3, it was kind of dull.
Yeah,
I have episode 4 next week.
Yep.
As opposed to, you got to wait 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Right.
Maybe you're not even going to know it because it doesn't do enough money.
Yeah.
You ain't going to see it. And then you're like, oh, fuck. And plus the fact the way that Twitter is and people screaming at each other about it, it's like, at least they scream at each other for a week.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that one's cool. All right. I don't hate you anymore.
Right.
So,
no, that's true.
Yeah.
Have you watched The Great?
No, which one's that?
The Great, about Catherine the Great with Dakota Fanning and Nicholas Holt.
That's the one. Before you tell me about this,
dude, you and Sadie need to watch that.
I will. But that's the other thing. That's one of the big problems with TV.
Yeah,
there's so much.
Unless
I have someone who is like a real like expert on all of it, like, so I try to get Makuga in here. Yeah. Makuga knows everything about fucking TV. Him and Roxy know everything about TV and everything that's on. I get lucky. I'll hear like Wheel of Time. I wouldn't have known unless the audience didn't recommend it, right? The audience says, here, check this out. I'll do a trailer, I'll do this. Yeah. There's certain things I didn't even know. And before you leave, I do want to talk about King Richard because that's another one that people kept telling me about. But
we watched it.
You did watch it. Okay.
This weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
So before we talk about King Richard, you were saying about the
The Great. Watch it. It's
what's it on?
It's Apple? On Hulu.
Okay.
It's vulgar,
okay.
It's crap, but it's amazing. The performances are great. Nicholas Holt's a massive movie star that's completely underrated. They all deserve nominations. It's just funny as shit. Look, for a lot of the fans watching,
it's a period piece, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's not a fanboy thing
because
it's period
court
drama,
stuff,
but it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
The dialogue's amazing.
The trailer. All right, lastly, so King Richard.
Yes. Will Smith's going to win.
It's funny, before...
He's owed one.
So before I saw this movie, I had just seen Tick, Tick, Boom
yeah.
with Andrew Garfield. Andrew yeah. Garfield, did you see it yet?
Not yet.
Really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good in it. Yeah. Jonathan Larson playing Jonathan Larson, yeah, the yeah. writer and director yeah. Rent. Not director, writer.
Creator.
Creator yeah. Rent. And I'm like, it's going to be hard to beat him. 20 minutes in, I go, he just got beat. Because Will Smith is out of control in this movie.
He even has the cadence with the way he talks. Like, you know,
and his and the did you watch the little behind the scenes?
No.
So they show the Williams sister showing up on set for the
first
day.
Oh, I did see that. I mean, I saw
and,
that, yeah.
I think it's Venus that sees Will Smith and goes, "Hey, daddy." And he goes, she's like, "Wow, you really got like the voice down and everything too."
Yeah.
And
it's
like,
come, he did.
That's an endorsement.
And his performance is bananas.
Yeah. He's in character, by the way, in that behind the scenes thing. He's trying not be, but he's still in character and you watch him. And it's hard not to be in character, but and as he's great, he's the talk of the movie, as he should be. The casting in this movie is brilliant. The wife is fantastic. The daughters are great. You know,
who, dude, they put side by side photos. I saw somewhere online.
Yeah, yeah.
They look just like.
I actually have. Look at this. So they actually sent this to me here. Check this out.
They sent this.
Yeah,
to
they
you?
Sent. They sent this. This is a picture of it's from that day, and it is a picture of
wow.
Will Smith, the real Williams sisters, and the daughters
yeah,
who played him. And so I'm going to see if I can show the camera here. Let's see if I can see it. Check that out.
Yeah, that's really cool. No, and he's going to win.
So, and he should win.
Yeah.
John Bernthal is so good in this movie.
Yeah, he's good.
And normally,
yeah.
he's always good.
Yeah.
But he plays a lot of similar characters, whether they have a Southern accent or an East Coast accent. It's like kind of tough
yeah.
guys, or either, you know, he's either plays a tough cop
yeah.
or he plays a tough kind of drug dealer, or he can play it all.
Yeah.
But he's kind of goofy in this role.
Yeah.
And when you see the guy he's playing, you understand why. What a haircut on this guy. But he's so good, and he's so, like, John Bernthal.
This is Rambo 3 here.
No, you had Rambo 3 here. John Bernthal is really good in this
yeah,
movie. The whole cast, it's phenomenal. If you haven't seen King Richard, you should check it out.
No, it's great. It's great. Yeah. I was psyched to see something so unique and different and original get so much attention.
And the movie was good too, though, because normally a lot of times the biopics, it's like, usually most biopics, like the movie was, the performance was great. The movie was okay.
Yeah.
A lot of times, right? Like I thought Judy, I thought she's great. That movie was good. Mm-hmm. Right. But like this movie is great. It's a feel good movie. It's, you know, it's inspirational. It's also, they don't try to sugarcoat the fact that he's a real, you know, he's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just had.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. You hate him at one point in the movie.
Yeah. You do. Yeah.
But, I by the way, I'll tell you about it next time because I can't talk about it
until
we close the deal. But I'm selling Will Smith something that the fans will like. It's a IP.
All right, we'll talk about it. What was the one? Hopefully, it's not this one. What was the one that was kind of like Halo that you used to have back in the day? The respawning one. Remember that movie you were trying to push for a while?
Oh yes,
remember that one?
It was Spates' first script, Shadow 19.
Yeah, what's going
on
with that?
John Spates, who just wrote what big ass. Movie did he just do some massive
what's
franchise.
Going on with Shadow 19?
It's just sitting there. Keanu wanted the one Keanu wanted
turned
to
into
do?
A series, man.
Yeah, well, it's stuck at Warner's. And remember, we hired two writers to rewrite it and paid them like $1 million, so it's sitting there with a couple $1 million. Right.
When you get your company off the ground, you start on TV, just hire me to do TV. I'll do TV with you.
Okay, Shadow 19 is a good idea for a show.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I wonder if Spates could get it in the WGA buyback time.
Oh, ask him.
His draft.
All right, see? Idea. And now I'm getting them fucking give me back in. All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here today. Naveed McElargy, producer extraordinaire. He will be back again. Thank you for joining us. Make sure, if you didn't already, please go ahead and subscribe to the channel and hit that notification button. It is very, very, very important. And don't forget, everybody, check it out. It is this Saturday.
Promise the biggest it is event the in Schmodown movie
Spectacular.
Trivia history.
And I don't know the why the audio is not on. It doesn't matter.
Six.
Because the audio will be on this on whenever the hell it is. It's on Saturday, December 4th. Please go and check it out and buy tickets at theschmodownlive.com. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
we appreciate
dude.
You. And we'll see you next time.
Where's the show logo? There it is.